tell you all a little bit about what we're going to try to accomplish this this weekend. There are three layers of our walk with Christ that needs constant monitoring. Now, first you have our personal relationship with God, and you all already know that you have that. The goal is to be more like Christ each and every day. And so in view of that goal, there are some things that we need to talk about, some things that we need to think about so that we can get to that point. Then you have our relationship with the world. There's things that we need to talk about, and again, things we need to think about so that we can better evangelize the world. You know, what should we be saying to the world? How do we say these things? And then I think that there's some cases where we need to learn to better guard ourselves from the dangers of the world. We need to talk about our culture and how the culture has its effect on us. And we need to talk about false doctrine and different things that people might say to try to move us away from that straight and narrow. But then you also have our relationship with one another, which is just as crucial as either of the other two. And so again, there are things that we need to talk about and things that we need to think about so that we can make sure that we are better equipped to serve one another. And typically, my sermons fall neatly into one of those three categories. You guys can't see it, but the word neatly has quotations around it because obviously, sometimes there is going to be some overlap. But I think you should always be able to find a take home in at least one of those three areas. And since we have three slots this weekend, we're going to talk about one way that we can do better in each one of those different areas. And this first lesson, it deals with the first one, and it's quite simply just on Christian growth. So speaking for me personally, I really like to see things get better. We can call that improvement or growth, like the slide says up there. And really, I've always kind of been like that. Like it's hard for me to watch sports games sometimes, especially when I'm seeing the same mistakes over and over and over again. My brain, it goes into fix-it mode. And just for a side note, I'm a Michigan football fan, so my brain's been in fix-it mode for about 15 years now on that regard. But really, there's always been something kind of fascinating to me about trying to find out how do we make things better. When fantasy football was in session, I was trying to make my team better. One time I found out how to get to work 3 minutes faster, and so for the next 3 weeks I had a smile on my face because making things better is fun. You know, it doesn't matter how much work I have to put in, it's worth it to be better as a result. So improving stuff is something that I like to do, but I also enjoy making myself better as well. Take preaching, for example. You would think, or maybe you would hope, that just by preaching more, you're going to get better. But that's not always the case. I wish it was that easy. It takes hard work. It takes dedication to improve as a preacher. I have to scrap ideas. I have to find new methods. And I even have to listen to myself recorded. And I don't know if there's anybody here who's ever done that. If you ever listen to yourself recorded, there is no more grueling process than that. You know, I always sound 10 times worse than I'd imagine. My voice, it sounds weird, and I'm wondering, Cody, why did you choose some of these different words? I'm listening for verbal tics. It's a tough process, but even though it's a tough process, it's a process that I am willing to go through because I want to be better as a result. The struggles that are apparent that just come with the process, they are okay to deal with in light of the fact that I will certainly be better as a result. And another aspect of this is that I think that since I find preaching valuable, it's something that I care very deeply about, it helps in that regard as well. It pushes me to want to grow as a preacher and want to be better as a preacher because where there's value, there's growth. And I need us to remember that concept for the lesson here this evening. Any area that I deem valuable, I always try to grow in that area. And I don't think I'm alone in that regard. You all grow in areas that you have deemed valuable as well. Now, most of you all are not preachers, but we all have or we have had areas of our lives where we wanted to get better. And so I want you guys to try to think of some of these areas. Think of some things that you personally remember getting better at. I'm going to give you a couple of general examples. I'm sure you can find yourself in some of these. So growing up, maybe it was sports. In fact, I know, because I've talked with some of you, I know that we had some people here who used to be or maybe still are some athletes in some regard. Think of how much work you had to put in order to get better at that. You know, in baseball, it's batting practice. In football, it's Oklahoma drills. In basketball, for some reason, it is still legal to do some training that's called suicides. But that was fine.
You do what you need to do in order to get better because you were passionate about this thing. You were invested. We are willing to go to great lengths to grow and to improve in areas that we have deemed valuable. But even right now, there are areas that you are getting better at too. Nowadays, maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's golfing or gardening or going to the gym. Even in our hobbies, these are ways that we're trying to get better too. You know, you're trying to find the best soil, the best methods to use some of these different things. No one is trying to stay exactly the same. Even in their hobbies, we're trying to get better because, again, there's value there. And when there's value, there's going to be growth. So if you've deemed something valuable, you are going to be compelled to grow. And I think our jobs are just another example of this. Sometimes that improvement, that growth, it is moving up the ladder. It's ambition. As we advance in our fields, that is an area of growth. And typically with our jobs, there is some monetary value there. So with that monetary value in mind, we work hard to get better. We work hard to grow and to move up. My wife is a teacher, so I've seen that teachers, they spend just massive amounts of time trying to make sure that they're doing the best job at teaching. You know, there is value in performing your job well, and so we grow. And then I think at the end of that growth in whatever area that we might be talking about, there's always a really, really good feeling. Sometimes just looking back at the growth journey that we've been a part of, that improvement is better than the final result itself. You know, when you become an A-plus student after years of being a C student, that's a really, really good feeling. And so hopefully you all can see just how much you all are already growing right now in different areas just on a regular basis. Just look back at your lives, and I'm sure you can see in some of these activities that you are growing. And so now all of those examples that I've just given where we have been improving, where we have been growing in our lives, all of those are on a physical basis. And so certainly there is going to be some value to some of these different things, whether that's financial value or just the enjoyment of getting better at something. There's obviously enough incentive to make us improve in those things. But what about the spiritual things? You know, do we grow spiritually? Do we feel like we have an incentive to grow spiritually? Because remember, where there's value, there is going to be growth. And I think we should all be in agreement that spiritual things hold way more value than physical things. And I would argue that the only way that physical things have any value whatsoever is when they're connected to spiritual concepts. For example, money, it only has value when we use it properly and godly to be better fit for His kingdom. Fun and happiness, that only has value when it's in the context of enjoying the things that God would want us to enjoy. You know, there's nothing physically that really has any value in and of itself. You know, just by the nature of it being physical, it's subject to corruption. And so therefore, it cannot have any value of its own. That's Jesus' point in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. He says to store up treasures not on earth, but store it up in heaven. Why? Because in heaven, in the spiritual things, that's where the real value is. And he echoes that just so many times in different areas of his ministry. And so let's follow the logic train here. If spiritual things have more value than physical things, and we are growing with these physical things, then shouldn't we be growing in the spiritual things too? In fact, shouldn't we be growing even more with the spiritual things? Shouldn't we be willing to endure whatever we have to in order to be a better Christian tomorrow than we were today? You know, even in the areas where it gets difficult, and I can promise you, there are areas where it is difficult, where it is hard to grow. There are rough spots. There are things that we have to do to be a better Christian that are uncomfortable, and they may not even be enjoyable in that individual moment. But remember, we ran suicides in order to be a better basketball player. We stayed up all night to study for the test, so we know that in order to get better, there's going to have to be a struggle, but Christianity should be worth it. We should be a growing Christian. So what is your answer to this question right here? Are you a growing Christian? You know, if we asked ourselves this question right here at the end of every single day, am I a growing Christian? What would your answer to that question be? I'm afraid maybe our honest answer would be no. And so maybe that shows that our value isn't in the right place. If we aren't growing, maybe we don't think that being a strong Christian is valuable. But if we do answer yes, well, then how would we prove that? What can we point to in order to demonstrate that we are, in fact, a growing and a better Christian? Because you can say that you're a better baseball player if maybe your batting average goes up. Or you can say you're a better gardener if your crop is better in quality or maybe in quantity. We can't just say that we are a growing Christian if there's nothing that we can actually point to demonstrate that. So again, really think about this. What are you getting better at to show that you are a growing Christian? I think complacency is the silent Christian killer. We get so complacent and we can lose that zeal and that value that would push someone to grow. And it's kind of sad, but oftentimes we are the same exact person day after day after day. And now if we were perfect, then that would be okay, right? We could continue to be the same exact person. If there wasn't a single area that we could do better in, then that would be fine. But I think everybody here knows better than that. We know that we all have work to do. So the question that we all need to ask ourselves during this lesson and during this week coming up and really during the rest of our lives is, am I a growing Christian? Let's dig really deep and figure out what the answer to this is. You know, as we're about to see, the answer to this question, it has implications on not even just like how we feel and how we view ourselves, but more importantly, it impacts our eternal salvation as well. But kind of on the bright side here is we do have help. We have help in answering this question. There is someone else who knows the answer to this question. And I think if it was just up to us to be better in these spiritual things, to be constantly growing, if we just left it to us, I'm not sure we'd have a chance because no one gets better at anything all by themselves. We do research from other people in order to get better. We learn from others. Someone helps us, they help guide us. You know, if we could just do better all by ourselves, likely we would have been doing better all along. But we all have someone who wants us to grow just as much as we need to grow. And he has wanted us to grow from the very beginning. And in fact, he has actually set up everything in order for us to grow. And if you haven't figured that out yet, I am talking about God, your Father in heaven. God wants you to grow. He wants us to be better. This question of, am I a growing Christian? God wants us to be able to answer this yes every single day. He wants growing Christians, not stagnant, not complacent Christians, but active and actively growing Christians. So how do we know that? How do we know that God wants us growing? Well, I think first you can look at just what so many of his messengers have said. The apostles, they were messengers for God, right? The things that they said, they were speaking on behalf of God. And we have several different examples of apostles expressing God's desire for his people to grow. Just think about this in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. He says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Peter says to grow in the grace and knowledge. You know, in light of all of the troubles that the early church was experiencing, Peter, God's messenger, he says to grow. You know, it's not enough to just be able to experience the grace and the knowledge of Jesus. We have to be growing in it and improving in it. Now, I think Peter might be pressing on something a little bit deeper here, but even if we just looked at the knowledge aspect here, God is expecting that we have more knowledge of his son and the things that he did for us. You know, can we say that? Can you say that you are constantly learning more about Jesus? Can you even say that you are trying to constantly learn about Jesus? God wants us to improve and to grow in our knowledge of him. And I think the amazing thing here is that this quote right here, this passage, it is said to people who are living an incredibly hard life. This is written to Jewish converts. And being a Jewish convert in the first century, that was hard work. You had the Roman government doing different evil things. They were cut off from their Jewish families. They were scattered as a result of this intense persecution. There were even false teachers among them trying to sway them the wrong way. And all of those things, those are things that they could have used as an excuse to not grow. They could have easily said, God, this is too tough. But that's actually the precise reason that they need to grow, because it is tough, because life is tough. And as life gets tougher, the Christian has to get tougher as well. In light of all of that opposition, God told them to grow. God wants all of his people to grow. Or just think about this in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15. Paul told Timothy to be absorbed in these things. And those are the spiritual affairs that Paul has just told Timothy to pay attention to. And he says to be absorbed in them. Why? So that they may see your progress. God wanted Timothy to grow as well. And the interesting thing about this passage is that Timothy, he's already strong. Timothy, he's the preacher. You know, you don't get sent to Ephesus unless you are strong. He's in charge of teaching and growing others as well. But even Timothy needs to grow. Strong people, strong Christians, they need to still be growing Christians as well. And I think Timothy had some built-in excuses that he could have used. Ephesus, that was a tough work. It was in a rough city as far as evil being around them. He was young. He didn't have the ideal spiritual upbringing. But God wanted Timothy to grow. You know, it doesn't matter what else is going on in our lives. We have to be growing Christians. It doesn't matter if you're a preacher like Timothy or just a disciple like Peter's audience. When we ask ourselves that question of, am I a growing Christian? The answer has to be yes, because that is God's expectation. But God doesn't just want us to grow. He also gave us the tools in order to help us grow as well. And I think this is somewhat worthy of a sidestep, because we are so blessed to serve a God who doesn't just leave us out to dry. And I think we need to recognize what a blessing that is. Because God isn't just incredibly demanding. He's asking us to do some very, very difficult things, but He just wants us to use the tools that He has already given us. He wants us to grow, but He wants us to grow using the tools that He's already given us. And I think we're already looking at one tool. One tool is His Word. His Word is an incredible tool for spiritual growth. You know, consider 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God might be adequate, equipped for every good work. And there are a lot of words that I could have highlighted here, but I think that training is just so key. Think of the things that you train for here in this physical life. Hopefully at the end of it, there's going to be some growth. You are better than you were before. You know, you train for a marathon, that way you can get to the point where you can actually run that marathon. You are better at the end of the training. So what is God's word for? It is to train us. You train by studying the Word to improve and to grow. So God gave us His Word in order to grow us. You know, when you study the Word on a consistent basis, you are always finding areas that you can do better in. There is no one who is an exception to this rule. You know, Mr. Guy, he has probably already forgotten more things than I will ever know, but you can ask him. Every time he studies, he finds another area that he can grow in. You know, and when you improve in those areas, these areas that you find through His Word, that's how you prove that you are a growing Christian. You know, earlier in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul, he talks about being constantly nourished on the words of faith. Missing out on Bible time, missing out on time with God's Word, that's like missing out on a meal, and we need to think about it that way. You know, if you have no Bible time, then you are starving spiritually. And what happens to things that are starving? They're not growing. Those things are dying. I want you to think about that. That is our spiritual state without Bible nourishment. But thankfully, unlike physical food, though, there is no such thing as too much Bible. Like, you are not going to become spiritually obese by studying your Bible too much. You know, seek and make the most out of every single time that you have to get into the Bible so that you can grow. And there is time to study our Bibles. I think that's one way we're good at wiggling around this. We say that we just don't have time. Well, find time. Find ways to study God's Word. You know, personal Bible study cannot be overstated. You know, you have to have some kind of personal Bible routine if you are going to be a growing Christian consistently. Again, think about it. If you only ate on Sundays and Wednesdays, you would be malnourished. You know, we have to take a personal responsibility for our own growth and for our own study habits. But I think you can also study with groups as well. You know, other people's Bible knowledge, that can help fuel you. You get perspective. You get substance that you may not get on your own. You know, regardless of how we might go about it, if we want to grow, if we say that we want to be that growing Christian, then we have got to have our nose in the Word on a regular basis. Because otherwise, that means we're not using the tools that He's given to us. In order to be a growing Christian, you have to be studying God's Word on a regular basis. There is no way around that. That is where the nourishment is. That is where the training is. So God's Word is our first tool for Christian growth. And I think God gave us each other in order to help us grow as well. The brethren are here in order to help us grow. And I think this can happen in a few very, very practical ways. Stirring up one another to love and good works. There's that common verse in Hebrews chapter 10. You know, when we assemble with the brethren, we should be stimulating each other to good works. In other words, we should be encouraging each other to be better at performing those good works. So remember, the word is good to train us for every good work. It's good to equip us and make us good for every good work. The brethren are here to do that as well. That's why being connected with the brethren is just so, so important. You know, even during like the current circumstances that we're trying to, you know, navigate out of this pandemic, you can still find ways to be connected with your brethren. You can grow from engaging in some online studies. You can grow from maybe even just a phone call to a brother or sister in Christ. I can think of so many times where I have grown just from one conversation with someone. So the brethren are here and they can help us grow just from us interacting with them. And I think leading by example is another way that brethren help us grow. You know, when I see another Christian that's doing something that I know that I need to work on, that's a reminder and an opportunity for me to grow. It's not just a time for me to look and say, oh, well, that's a good person. Well, then I need to make sure that iron sharpens iron. I need to make sure that I am getting better in some of those regards as well. You know, there's just so many everyday ways that our brothers and sisters can help us. But maybe this is especially true with our brethren who are our teachers. You know, the people that teach to us on a regular basis, those are our brethren as well. I think sometimes we forget that. But teachers, the brethren who are our teachers, they are here to help us grow as well. Now turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. This is a little bit longer of a text, so I want us to be able to lay eyes on this one. And hopefully you all haven't been spoiled by the words being up here on the slide. But look at Hebrews chapter 5 and drop down to verses 12 through 14. The Hebrews writer, he says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practices have their senses trained to discern good and evil." And so the Hebrews writer here in Hebrews chapter 5, he is concerned with their lack of spiritual growth. They are still infants, even though they should have grown to the point where they are mature. You know, by this time, they should have been teachers themselves, but instead, they're having to go back and revisit some of these elementary and some of these basic things. So they were not growing. But why did he want them to grow? He wanted them to grow so that they could become teachers. As we grow, we become teachers. And whoever is speaking here in Hebrews is evidently in a position of growth where they could teach. But as they grew, they gained the ability to teach others. And that's why growth is so important. As we grow, we gain the ability to grow others too. That's what teachers do. That's what teaching is. And so we all have different teachers in our lives. And my question is, are we using the tools that God gave us to grow? You know, are we paying attention to the teacher in Bible class? I used to think that only kids didn't pay attention in Bible class or during sermons, but I know now that's not true. But we all need to do a better job of listening to our teachers as they are presenting God's word to us. Now, of course, teachers need to make sure that they're doing things that where they are engaging, but they should be encouraging an interest in the Bible, not creating one, because you should already be interested, because there is value in you understanding God's word. We should all have a good base level of interest in what the Bible teacher has to say, because it's God's word. And because that's another opportunity for us to grow. That's a chance to be able to ask ourselves, am I a growing Christian? And to be able to honestly answer yes. And these teachers don't have to teach us in a formal manner either. Teachers have value in just by going up to them and picking their brain about different things. There are plenty of wise and knowledgeable people around you right now that could serve as a teacher. And they can teach you many things. They can help you grow. So use the tools. And we can get better together. I think the brethren are a key point here. But maybe the most interesting tool is the trials. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. This is one of those kind of surprising statements that Peter makes. Makes a lot of statements that may make you raise an eyebrow, but I think this is definitely one of them. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, Peter writes, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." So again, Peter says a lot of eyebrow-raising things. He says a lot about trials, including do not be surprised by them. But you, do you remember those excuses that we talked about earlier when we looked at what Peter wrote to the apostles there in Jerusalem? You know, all of those bad things that were surrounding them. Well, these are those same people. These people that he's talked to here, those are those same exact individuals. They were going through tough trials, real faith-testing trials. But those trials, they were not an excuse to not grow. They were actually a means by which God wanted them to grow. It's almost a reversal there. Through those trials, through this testing, they were supposed to be better as a result. We are refined and we are better as a result of the different trials that we might go through. You know, Peter uses this illustration of refining gold. You know, a man, he might take gold with some impurities. He's going to put into the fire and then it comes out on the other side pure and it's going to come out valuable. And so with us, God, he's going to take us with some of our impurities. He puts us into the fire and the goal is for us to come out pure and valuable as well. But not only valuable to people around us, but more importantly, valuable to God as well. And that's what trials can do for us. That's what trials can do for you. Trials bring us growth. This is what making us better looks like. And I think we've all seen this in our individual lives too. When we have gotten through tough times, we are always better as a result. We are always growing when we make it to the other side of some of those mountains. So keep trusting in God. Keep growing as a Christian. Use every circumstance, even some of these difficult ones, even the trials in our lives. Use all of these circumstances to become a better Christian because, quite simply, that's what God wants from you. And I would say that God is exhausting all of his options to make sure that we're growing. So we need to make sure that we reciprocate that. Let's make sure that we are putting in that same effort as well. And so the question is, what do we do now? You know, we know that we need to grow, but my guess is you already knew that before you got here today. I think sometimes we just need a little bit of a reminder to get us back on track. Peter talks about stirring up the early Christians by way of reminder. You know, as humans, we need reminders. But once we get that reminder, then the responsibility is on us now, right? So am I a better Christian? We said in order to answer that question, we had to have something in order to go to, in order to demonstrate that, right? Well, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's look briefly here, because I think we can see how we can measure our spiritual growth, and we can answer that question of, am I a growing Christian, truthfully? This is 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 5 through 12. Again, Peter writes, "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you." And so again, what do we do now? This is what growth looks like. You know, remember the baseball player, when he checks his average, that's how he can say that he has grown. Maybe if he's hit more home runs, he can say that he has grown. Well, Peter, he gives us a checklist of some different things that we can look at to make sure that we are growing, to make sure that we are increasing. You know, if you want to know if you are a growing Christian, you can check. Now, this is not the only place that you can go. There are plenty of different places, but I think oftentimes we take this list and we look at it as like, okay, well, you need all of these things here. And it is true, you do need all of these things, but I want us to focus on maybe just one of them. Because if you can say that you are better at any one of these things that Peter lists here, you can honestly say that you are a growing Christian. So just go on down the list. Do I have more knowledge of God than I had yesterday? Do I have more self-control than I had yesterday? Do I have more perseverance? And so on and so forth. If you want to see if you are growing, you can check. You know, these are the elements of our Christian walk that we can monitor what we're doing. You know, if you have no idea where you stand in these areas, then that means you can't get better. But we must get better every single day. So everyone here should take one of these qualities and see if you're getting better at it. You know, and make it something challenging too. Maybe you've always struggled with something like self-control. Maybe other people have told you the same. There's no point in just continuing with that flaw, right? Get better at it. Be that growing Christian. Focus on it. Monitor your behavior. Monitor your interactions with other people. See if you are demonstrating more self-control. That's what being a growing Christian looks like. So let's remember these things as we try to grow. You know, being a strong and healthy disciple, it is valuable. Do not ever forget that. You know, am I a growing Christian? Ask yourself that question that every single day this weekend. Make changes until you know what the answer to that is. So there may be someone here today who has not put Christ on in baptism. You can start on your growing process right here and right now. And we would love to baptize you today for the remission of your sins. We would love to help you get started on your commitment to our Lord and Savior and our King Jesus Christ. You can make your life right with God right here and right now. But maybe you've already started on that process, but you've stopped growing for whatever reason. You know, if you're not growing as a Christian, that means that you're dying. Well, let us help you. Let us pray for you. Let us work with you in whatever way that we can. Let us help you any way that we possibly can. If you have any needs, please make them known as we sing the song of invitation.